Okay, we're back in Parshat Emor, and after kind of looking at the more overarching process of Parshat Emor through Parshat Behar, and speaking a little bit more in detail about the first half of Parshat Emor, the part dealing with the Kohanim, the additional level of Kedusha and the level of Nefesh, let's focus on the second half of the Parsha, the elevated level of Kedusha on the level of Shana or Zman, although Shana, like we've mentioned before, is actually a very appropriate term because what happens here in the second half of the Parsha is Parshat HaMoadot, which really goes through the Ma'agal HaShana, goes through the entire cycle of the year. As we mentioned, it's really the only part of Torah that goes through every single station in the cycle of the year, starting with Pesach, Sfirat HaOmer, not by name but Shavuot, and then Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret. It goes through the entire cycle of the year from beginning to end. And that's exactly how we would expect it to open up. If you take a look inside in Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Let's read it together. Where does the Ma'agal HaShana start? Where does the cycle of the year begin? This process of the Mo'adim, as we mentioned before. With Pesach. With Pesach. Okay, so let's take a look at the Pesukim. Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Aleph. Right? So, Margalit said, before hitting Yael, that we should start with Pesach, which makes sense in the Parshat HaMoadot. Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Idaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'amarta lehem. Mo'adei Hashem asher tigru otam mikrai kodesh. These are the appointed times of Hashem, which will be called appointed times of Kedusha. Elehe Mo'adai. Lots of moed there. It's very clear that this is Parshat HaMoadot, just in case you weren't sure, so we said quite a few times on that pasuk. And then, of course, Pesach, b'chodesh harishon b'asar l'chodesh bin arba'im pesach l'Hashem. Right?
Right.
No. Are anybody looking inside? Pasuk Gimel. I skipped three pasukim. Sheitah damim tasem alacha. 6 days you should do work. Uvayom hashvi'i, and on the seventh day, Shabbat Shabbaton nikrai kodesh, kol malacha lo tasu, Shabbat tu la'ashem, b'kol mocha v'techem. What's the topic of the first pasuk dealing with the Mo'adim?
Shabbat.
What's the problem with that?
It's not
one of the Mo'adim. It's not part of the cycle of the year. And Pasuk Ben went very, very strongly out of its way to emphasize that we're talking about the Mo'adim. We're talking about the yearly cycle, the yearly process. We're not talking about the weekly process. We're not talking that the process of Shabbat is a totally different floor of time. And yet, the Torah goes out of its way in that paragraph, which, by the way, not only is that a paragraph, when I say that paragraph, what are we really talking about? How do we function in terms of how we look at the text? It's a Parsha Ptucha. It's the opening paragraph with a beginning and an end. It's a three-sentence paragraph. The Torah stops. It says, God spoke to Moshe, told him about the Mo'adim, and then there's Shabbat. Now, new paragraph, let's start the actual cycle of the Mo'adim with a whole paragraph about Pesach. Fascinating and challenging. Why would we start Parshat HaMo'adim with Shabbat? And if you want to say to me...
It doesn't say like just Shabbos, it says Shabbat, Shabbaton.
I don't think that that's an indication of Yom Kippur, if that's what you're implying. But it's very sheishet avim tasem alacha over yom hashvi Shabbat Shabbaton yikra kodesh kol malacha lo tasu Shabbati laHashem kol mishutekan. I think it's very clearly. Maybe there's somehow some sort of remez in there if you want to imply that Shabbat Shabbaton is in there. But it's pretty straightforward that we're talking about Shabbat. And if you want to say, okay, so we're talking about all of Kiddushat Hazman, so it has to include Shabbat, I would say to you, no. What are we missing? For example. Rosh Chodesh, another cycle that's not part of the yearly cycle, but on its own system that's not here. So we're not talking about Kedushat HaZman Bigadol. We're talking about the Mo'adim. And yet somehow Shabbat needs to be the opening pasuk, the opening, the introduction to the paragraph of Parshat HaMoadot. So let's try to unpack that a little bit. When we talk about Shabbat, what does Shabbat actually pertain to? What point in time? Creation, Bereshit. Shabbat is hearkening all the way back to Bereshit itself. That's even what we do on Friday night when we make Kiddush. There's a whole machloket about whether or not one is supposed to stand or sit for the first paragraph of Kiddush. Why is that? What's the machloket about there? Anybody familiar with that?
If it's
Eidus. Well, so the machloket is should you stand. It's not a machloket, is it Eidus? The point is, it is Eidus, and so you have to stand. But you're supposed to sit when you drink. So should you stand or should you sit? Because it is Eidus. What are we possibly testifying to on Friday night?
Shabbat.
We're testifying to the fact, every week we are testifying to the fact, this is the end of the cycle of this week. This is Shabbat, and I'm testifying that this is the seventh day, this is the Shabbat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. But it's a testimony, that's why we stand, that's why it creates a halachic problem of whether or not one should stand or sit on Friday night for Kiddush, or both. But whether or not one should stand or sit on Friday night for Kiddush. We're testifying, we're hearkening back, it's reaching all the way back to the Bria itself, reaching all the way back to the creation itself. There is a beginning to everything. And the Torah, the whole Torah itself, is predicated on that beginning of everything. It's the very first word of the Torah. We even mentioned this, I believe, on Monday, but it came up in a different context. That we talked about the fact that Bereshit is, that indication inherent clearly in that word is Bereshit, in the beginning. That time, it's the creation, it's the kickoff of time. But what is the fact that there's a Bereshit, that there's a Reshit imply? If there's a Reshit, keep going. There's an end. There's an end. Meaning a process needs a starting point and a conclusion. But the very fact, one layer of meaning, the fact that the Torah starts off with the word Bereshit, is that it's defining for us that there is a starting point and that there must therefore be an ending point. If there is a Reshit, there must be an Acharit. If there's a starting point, there has to be a destination. If there's a purpose in creation itself, and thinking back, those people who are in Derech Hashem, again, Derech Hashem's kind of overlapping, as it should. Everything in Derech Hashem should fit everything else you're learning in Torah through the lens of that Hashkafic viewpoint, from that Hashkafic lens, right? If there's a purpose in creation, then it must be constantly moving toward that destination. That was the premise of the whole Chelek Bet of Derech Hashem of Hashkacha. If there's a purpose in creation, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach, that every single moment over the course of that time, it's going toward its intended destination. So that's one of the layers of the impact of there being this starting point, of there being that creation. But if Shabbat is the beginning, what's interesting about Shabbat is that not only is it the beginning, not only does it define the fact that there is a beginning, and if there is a beginning, there must be an end, Shabbat is also the end itself. How is Shabbat also the end itself? We'll get there in a second, of course. That's Muvan Meilav, that has to be part of the Shiur, yeah. How is it also the end? Me'ein Olam Haba. Get back to that in a second. It's Mein Olam Haba, right? Shabbat is a little bit of a taste of the world to come. Haba, the world that's going to be at the end. There's an aspect of the end within Shabbat as well. In fact, it is the original destination. If we look back, and we've quoted this pasuk before, we've quoted this idea before, that it says, that's what Eliezer said. We'll make sure to say that out loud as part of the shiur. Not to worry. Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et hashamayim the et haaretz, which is generally mistranslated as that God created the world in 6 days, but that's not what it says. For to do that, God would have had to add a letter. Ki bishishet yamim, but that's not what it says. It says ki shishet yamim asah Hashem et hashamayim v'et haaretz. The world was originally intended to be 6 days long. What then would have been Olam Haba? Shabbat itself. Shabbat was actually the original destination. When things don't go according to plan, when history changes, so history has to open up. And also, quoting things that we've quoted with Chazal, that we've quoted before, what happens, in what way does the process of history open up? What's the new model of history? How long is history, according to Chazal? 6,000. A group of 6,000 years, followed by a last group of 1,000 years, that's 7,000, which is going to be the Yemot HaMashiach, taking us into that next phase. That's the end point, that's the destination, that's the goal. 6,000 years leading to a 7,000. 6 leading to a 7, 6,000 leading to a 7. It's very clearly overlapping. That even when we open up history, it becomes the destination, even on that level, in terms of the grouping of the thousands of years that history contains. So Shabbat is both Zecher L'Maaseh Bereshit and Me'ein Olam Haba. It's both the beginning and the end. It's the opening and the closing of that circle. It's both the Me'ayin Bata and the La'ana Ta'olich. Shabbat, even microcosmically in our lives, and we've talked about this, those who've been to our house for Friday night dinner, we talk about this, is that Shabbat both kicks off the week, starts off the week, and concludes the week. Now, it certainly concludes the week. It certainly wraps up and harmonizes everything that the week has accomplished. Ki shishim ta'avod v'asita kol melachtecha. 6 days were meant to work and accomplish and do melacha. And what happens on Shabbos is that we enjoy the benefits, no more and no less, of what we've accomplished during the week. By the way, Derech Hashem, what does that sound like? What we just learned yesterday. When you get to Olam Haba, you get absolutely no more and no less than you worked to accomplish yourself in this world. Exactly the same, microcosm. We work for six days, and we enjoy the fruits of that labor. We come and harmonizes everything we've accomplished in the week on Shabbat. But in the same way, Shabbat then plants the seeds for the next week as well. It's both the Rishit and the Acharit. That's why recently we had a very special Shabbat. What Shabbat did we have recently? It had a unique name. Shabbat HaGadol. Why is it the great Shabbat? The huge Shabbat. This wondrous Shabbat. It's the Shabbat before Pesach. You know what I say to that? Who cares? As we'll get to the phrase this actually comes from in next Parsha, Ma'inyan Shabbat Eitzel Pesach. That phrase comes from Rashi, Ma'inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai, from the beginning of Parsha Bahar. We'll see that in a little bit. Right? But what does Shabbat have to do with Pesach? What's the connection?
They're right next to each other.
What?
They're right next to each other.
You mean they're right next to each other? Shabbat Shuva. We also make this a big deal about it. It's the Shabbat right before Yom Kippur. What do you say now? That's many paragraphs down. What do they have to do with each other? The answer is that the seeds for that day are planted, meaning it's very significant, the Shabbat that precedes Pesach, because that which will give birth to Pesach is the Shabbat that it comes from. To the extent that we dignify that Shabbat, that we mark that Shabbat, recognizing that we're about to be born as a people this week, and our ability to be born as a people comes from that Shabbat, from the koach of that Shabbat. The bracha, all of the drawing of energy for that week is all drawing itself from what's coming out of that Shabbat.
But then why isn't every Shabbat before holidays?
So one has to understand what's unique specifically that we would single it out by Pesach and by Yom Kippur. And I think one can think about that. I think there's stuff even on the surface that would clearly indicate why that would be. But without getting into that now. That's why we mark and we spend extra time and focus on those Shabbatot. It was meant more as a Shalosh Shiddur conversation. My other Rebbe, he one time said to me, we were probably sitting on close to when Shabbos was over at his house, and he always likes to speak in riddles, which you basically have to spend your whole lifetime trying to figure out what they meant. So he said, Rabbi, I have a question for you. What do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing right before he created the world? To which I looked at him and I said, I have absolutely no idea. What was God doing? I'd love to know. What was God doing before he created the world? And he said, Pasha. He looked at me like, what's wrong with it? How do you not know the answer to that question? He said, Pasha. He was having Sudash the sheep. Which, first of all, gives a little bit more weight to why there's so much depth to Sudash the sheep and why that's the apex of Shabbat. Again, giving birth to a new week, but he's hinting in that sentence the fact that the whole week is drawing from the koach of what's coming from that Shabbat. It's his way of phrasing it. But the two, so it's both the beginning and the end. It's both producing the it's both producing that process and also the wrapping up of the process itself as well. The Rebbe who these shiurim are based on didn't mention this in the context of his shiur, but Chazal, Al Pi Kabbalah, point out something very beautiful also. If you take the word Bereshit, there are many, many different. There are svarim of Sitrei Torah written about the word Bereshit. Svarim about the word Bereshit. One understanding of the word Bereshit, if you change around the otiot, meaning the otiot that are contained within that very word, you get Re'i Shabbat. That already from the first moment of creation, there's an intended goal that we're meant to be looking at, looking toward, gearing ourselves toward. Very, very beautiful, very deep chazal about already how Shabbat is embedded into the word Bereshit itself, right? Which, as both Sherry and Elior already quoted, is very much an expression of Sof Ma'aseh B'Machshavah Tchila. That the thing that's the first thought is always going to be, that the thing that's last indeed is always first in thought. That what my goal is always has to be the first thing that I have in mind, and then I'm going to go and produce the process that's going to lead to that. But creating this very beautiful circular nature, where again, Shabbat is both the beginning and the end. It's the opening of the circle and the closing of the circle. By the way, if we're talking about the Parshat HaMo'adot, that means that the end of the process of the entirety of the Mo'adot, if not, we'll come back to that in a second. Jumping again. Let's talk about the Mo'adim before we jump there. Assuming that all of this is true, right? Shabbat is both defining the Me'ayin Batan Alanat Aleik, it's defining the starting point as well as the destination. What do the Mo'adim correspond to? What points in time do the Mo'adim correspond to?
Seasons.
What?
Seasons.
So there's definitely a seasonal aspect to the Mo'adim, 110%. But that's not the only thing that's going to define them, and in fact, that's generally not where they emanate from. Where do the Mo'adim emanate from? Historical moments. Now, Mirza is making a great point, which is that for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized things in a way where there's multi-layers, and that those Mo'adim are intentionally overlaid with the natural cycle of the year itself. Which is not surprising, because it's the yearly cycle, and all aspects of the yearly cycle have to merge. Everything in Judaism is soaked with meaning. Every layer has to work with each other. Fascinatingly, also, just the two sheer series, so to speak, that I remember used to always give in yeshiva was Chumash, the cycle of the Parshiot, and he had a whole year-long series on the cycle of the Jewish year. Unbelievable stuff. And very often we would discuss in the context of the Shirim what was the nature of the overlap of the Mo'adim to the time, and then sometimes even what was the overlap to the Parsha, with always a presumption that there must be an overlap to the Parsha as well. But the Mo'adim mark moments in time. That's what they do. We have Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, etc. All of the Yamim Tovim have a historical component to them. If Shabbat defines the destination of history, then the Mo'adim are the process by which that destination is reached. The Mo'adim take us across that process to reach that destination. Shabbat defines the perfect world at the end of days, and the process to get there is Yamim Tovim. They pertain to two different layers of time. This also relates to even the very brachot themselves of Shabbat and Yom Tov. By Shabbat, by Yom Tov, what do we say? We just came out of Pesach. What's the bracha at the end of Kedushat HaZman, of all of the Yom Tovim? Mekadesh Yisrael VeHazmanim. God sanctifies us, and we sanctify the times. We always need to be actively part of the process. We are meant to be part of the process. God sanctifies us, and we sanctify the times. We take an active role in the way that history is going to play out. We're part of the complicated road that is history. When we say Mekadesh Yisrael VeHazmanim, what are we really hinting to? In what way do we play a role in defining the actual Mo'adim every single year? We define Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is dependent upon the moon. The moon is correlated to, back to Parshat Bo, the moon is correlated to us, right? The moon is correlated to us. We are in the image of the moon. We talked about that extensively. We had all the shir on that. That's why it's the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael gets is the Chodesh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim, is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, of Kiddush HaChodesh. We are correlating to the moon. We're correlated more to the process. Just like we wax and wane, we go up and down over the course of history, so too does the process go up and down based on us. And through that, we also define the Mo'adim themselves. We're part of that process. As opposed to Shabbat, what's the bracha on Shabbat? Just Mekadesh HaShabbat. What's taken out of the equation? We're taken out of the equation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu defines the origin point, and he defines the ultimate goal. As it has to be. So coming back to Sof Masav Machshava Tchila, if there is a beginning, there must be an end. Before we even existed, he needed to have a goal in mind. That was Shabbat. And so we needed to start history, and that is also Shabbat. That comes down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's defining the origin point. He's defining where we start from and where we go to. We are but the whole point of there being a reality is for us to go through the process of getting from the beginning to the end. For us to draw that process out and forward.
But Hashem is the one defining.
He defines the destination. And when talking about Hashkacha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly working with the factors of our choice, the factors of our nature and our history and the things that we do, we define the path, but we don't define the destination. That's a very big Hashkafic discussion in and of itself. There's a lot to unpack in that sentence. That the destination is predetermined. The process is still totally in our hands. So this comes back to explain our original question. Why when starting off Parshat HaMo'adot, why do we have to start off with Shabbat? Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu actually say, here I'm going to introduce you to the Mo'adim, the sanctified times, everything? Shabbat. Why would we start with Shabbat?
So I can remember that it's all
not just so that we remember. Even say, I mean, first of all, just quote the same thing we've been quoting all year. Zof Masad Mashavat Chila. We talk about this all the time, that the only way to make a journey meaningful is to first know your destination. You can't have any sense of process unless you know where you're headed. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu intentionally, very specifically, goes out of his way to start off the process of the Mo'adim speaking about Shabbat, because that which gives meaning to the entire process of the Ma'agal Hashana, the entire process of all of the Mo'adim starting from Pesach and wrapping up at Sukkot, what gives it meaning is that it's all not just random moments in history that we're celebrating, that we're living through the process of going through stage after stage after stage leading us to the goal. Everything that we do is meant to be aimed toward that goal. Everything that we're meant to do is meant to be geared toward that goal. Like we talked about also in that shir on Parshat Bo by the Chodesh, that we are Klal Yisrael, Yashar Kel. We're the straight ones of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We create vector. We create a reality of momentum, of movement, of direction to a reality that never had it. But everything has to be geared toward a destination. That's what gives it meaning.
Also, like we define Shemos in like the book of destiny.
But not only that, what's the culmination of the Mo'adim Doraita and all the Mo'adim Doraita? What's the last of the Mo'adim Doraita? Sukkot. So what else did we say about Sefer Shemot? What? That Pesach obviously correlates to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Shavuot correlates to Matan Torah, and then we went into a lot of depth of how Sukkot overlaps with the Binyan of the Mishkan. But that's the point. Meaning, if Shemot is the book of two things, Shemot is the book of same thing of our origin. But if it's going to be meaningful as a book of our origin, what must it also be? A book of our destination, which is the meaning of the word Shemot. The first word of the Sefer, which kicks off the Sefer, is this story has a definitive, goal-oriented end. Asham. It's the first word. It's the name of the Sefer. Because again, all processes have to be linked that way. That it's all going back. Again, Sof Masad Machshavat Tchila. Bereshit has Shabbat in it, in the very word itself. That's what I was going to mention before. As the culminating Chag as well. What names? We was coming back to the shir that you were mentioning, that you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the shir on Simchas Torah. What names does that final holiday have? The culminating holiday have? First of all, Shemini. When the Mishkan goes up, it goes up on Yom HaShemini. Good. Keep going. Atzeret. It's the end of that process. It's the stopping point. Keep going. And where's the agricultural component of Sukkot?
Chag
HaAsif. when we gather everything in, the end of the process where everything is finally gathered in, like the gathering in of the end of days. But it's also called Chag. When Chazal say Chag, they don't mean any one of the Chagim. They mean one very specific Chag. They mean Sukkot. What is Chag? Mazalachug Chuga. Mazalachug Chuga. It means to draw a circle. That which is the circle itself, the holiday which defines the circular nature of time, which wraps it up, but by wrapping it up, it's defining the wrap-up as coming back to the beginning. Meaning, the Sof Masad Machshavat Tchila, bringing the two together, that's going to be Sukkot. And there's a lot to go into there in another time. But that's also, I mean, what do we do on Simchas Torah? What do we do on all throughout Sukkot? We dance in circles on Simchas Torah, and then until we get to Simchas Torah, what are we doing? Or what are you watching them doing, unfortunately? What are you watching people doing? Hakafot, we're constantly going. They're all of Sukkot is endless circles. Because it's the holiday of the culmination of the process, and the end is the closing of the circle. The end of a process is always the closing of the circle because of this concept of Bereshit, of Re'ish Shabbat, of Sukkot, of Mat Shabbat Chila. Of the fact that Shabbat has to contain within it both the beginning and the end. And so again, here, Shabbat is then framing the context by which the Mo'adin have meaning, and then once we understand the context, the origin and the destination, which are always one and the same, once we understand that, now we can go through the entirety of the Mo'adin, because they have context and meaning in that they are geared toward a destination. Yeah?
So, I don't know if you said that Pesach at the beginning, but like, you begin at Pesach and you end at Sukkot, then like, I know we have Hanukkah and Purim now in the middle, but it's just like,
and
now you have like most of the circle, and then
there's
like a bunch of
empty space. Until you have the Mo'adin D'Rabbanan. So when the Mo'adin D'Rabbanan emerge,
they're still like outside of it. They're still like not part of it.
I have a lot of suspicions and theories about the way in which the other half of the year works, but they're theories, and they'll take us far beyond the scope of discussion. And as we mentioned last time, while it seems to be hinted to in the end of the Parsha, Hanukkah and Purim in its own way, it's not explicitly in the text, so we can talk about it offline. But I think it's the overt and the light side. I mean, this obviously the light side, meaning the time when the sun is shining more prominently, the warm part of the year where everything is out and alive and bright. That's all of the Mo'adin D'Oraita. The dark time, the time correlating to exile, which is when all of the other Mo'adin D'Rabbanan take place, the dark time of the year, the cold time of the year, that's when there's this other process, which I would claim is also, it's showing us the dark side of the same process, the hidden side of the same process, the exile side of the same process. But both are mirror images of each other. But that's also why it's going to culminate itself in, where did the Mo'adin D'Rabbanan end? In Purim, which is an other, which is very much meant to be at the end, right? And so much of Purim is all about the end of days as well. The ultimate destruction of Amalek at the end of days, and the wiping out, and the full acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of Purim is overlaid with a recognition of like we talked about before also, even in the Chumash Yerim, of reaching beyond the level of Da'at, going earlier than the Eitz HaDa'at to Varad, reaching a level of pure Kiddushah, kind of like leaving behind all mitzvot and just entering into a world of pure Kiddushah, we sing and dance in the circle on some Chas Torah. There's a lot of interesting overlaps. Also, by the way, what crept into Simchas Torah that was never meant to be there? What do people associate with Simchas Torah, unfortunately, negatively?
Drinking.
What's very much associated with Purim?
Drinking.
Fascinating that there's no makor for drinking to be associated with Simchas Torah, and yet, both of the holidays that culminate to the end of days, hashkafically, even when it wasn't built into it, somehow had drinking linked to it. I think that that's a misuse. It's obviously a misuse, and there's no heter to drink on Simchas Torah. No heter to drink on Simchas Torah. But I think that it just evolved that way because the same way that there's... I think it came from the fact that there's a draw to whatever the wine is supposed to produce on Purim, people have incorrectly also transferred that onto Simchas Torah, and the same way that it's incorrectly used on Purim as well. But in the right way, it's meant to take a person to a certain place. There's a lot of interesting, again, overlaps, and it's the light side and the dark side of the coin. Anyway, that's a little bit of a perspective on what the Parshat Hamodot is doing. How, again, this elevating the level of Shana, of Zman, and with that we will leave behind Parshat Emor and move Bezrat Hashem next Wednesday into Parshat Behar and talk about Kiddushat Makom, or the aspect of Olam, and the immediate question for everybody to spend sleepless nights for the next week thinking about is, why would Kiddushat Makom, while it's the third part of this trilogy, why is it in its own parsha? And a very appropriate time to be thinking about it, as we'll be discussing it going into Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut. What is so unique about Kiddushat Makom and Kiddushat Eretz Yisrael that it would end up in its own parsha, even though it's part of this process of three? So we'll pick up with that with Rosh Hashem next week.